final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around.
promised land.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science with Shaziz. I got my buddy Steve on here, and anyway, puts the link over there in the shazizradio.com/superchat.html room there, where you have the access to talk to not only Shaziz Radio but Awake Radio at the same time. And there's a link in there with a video of the post-apocalyptic inventor there. It's essentially he's showing all kinds of different styles of motors, permanent magnet motors, induction motors, and so on and so forth. And he goes through a pretty wide variety of different motors. Now, see, the only portion that I didn't like about this specific video was the fact that he, at some point in there, was talking about free energy idiots.
It's just to interrupt there, just very briefly.
Yeah.
For those people that are watching in black and white, the YouTube video itself is called Brushless DC Motors and Brushed DC Motors Explained.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, one of the things that... Well, first off, he kind of paints with a wide brush right there, because everybody knows what OSHA's is about. I'm talking about free energy. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking for it, because it exists all around you. But regardless of all that, one of the things that is the biggest problem in the alternative energy is folks are trying to take existing technology and knowledge of how electricity and magnetism and electromagnetism functions. And they're trying to figure out a workaround as far as the laws of physics to be able to get a attraction and repulsion kind of deal. Now see, I keep saying this, that nature balances itself out. Like such as water will always find its level. If you have a water level, and if you've ever seen one of those, you'll notice that no matter how high you raise the hose on one side, the water level will always remain constant with the water level on the opposite side. That's what nature does, and the same thing would apply in magnetism. And one of the biggest problems that when you're talking about alternative energy and trying to be able to generate free energy, as most folks call it, they don't understand what I'm talking about when I say free energy. So one of the biggest problems is back EMF. Essentially what that is if you have a generator head and you have induced a current flow into, let's say, a motor generator. Once you induce that electricity into that motor generator, you now have a magnetic field being created that is actually turning the armature, or vice versa, depending on which one of these motors that you're using. And at some point, you'll have to change the polarity of that energy that you're putting in order to get it the rotor to turn. Well, if you're spinning a generator head with any external force and it spins freely, you're actually producing an electric charge going on inside that generator. But the moment you put that thing under a load, under a really light load, it will still turn, but it has some cogging effect to it. It slows the motor generator down. And so the problem is that the heavier the load that you put on there, the stronger the second magnetic field is created inside there. Because if you go by Lenz's law, which is based off of Faraday and some other things, is that every time you induce a current in a coil of wire, you create a opposing magnetic field opposite of the magnetic field that you started with. Follow me so far, Steve? It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate.
Alright, so anyway, what's going on here is when you put the juice to the first portion of it, and it creates a magnetic field which is actually used to turn your rotor off. Let's just go with permanent magnets to make it easier. Your permanent magnet has a north field and a south field. And so if you can switch the polarities at the right timing, you can literally get a rotation from the magnetic fields trying to right themselves. No matter which direction you go, the magnetic field will always want to right itself. Two magnetic fields will couple with one another, and then the flux lines, basically the direction in which the magnetic flux is going, north to south, towards the center, is going to want to do the same exact thing and turn that rotor and the magnetic field that you just produced into one magnet. So essentially that armature will lock down just like brakes. So that's a deal that they're trying to keep, people that keep trying to get around by either pulsing and shutting it off and doing all this kind of nifty stuff to in order to get that, to stop that reaction. It's impossible to stop the coupling, and it's impossible to stop the magnetic fields from wanting to basically right themselves. They're going to match negative to negative and positive to positive no matter what you do. That's what nature's doing. It's trying to balance itself out. So if you got two magnets and you set them down with opposite fields on the table, you'll notice that instantaneously these magnets will flip around and lock together. That's exactly what's going on inside your generator. Well, the key is to use the energy that the generator has induced into the copper wire via the magnetic field and be able to use this energy without allowing that second magnetic field to be created, which is created by when, if you can visualize a figure eight, all right, you got your energy flow going in counterclockwise. All right, and as the energy is going in, it's creating a magnetic field that's interacting with your magnets on your generator. Well, the moment you turn the switch on, that other end of the figure eight comes into play, and now you have an opposing force that's coming in clockwise with the counterclockwise motion, and those two will butt heads until they actually become one field and everything rights itself. Now, I believe that there's many different ways that this could actually be accomplished in order to keep those fields at the very least going in the same direction without getting a back EMF. But for physics purposes, and to keep all the electrical guys out there happy, let's just say we're just going to allow the back EMF to never be created from the get-go. We're not going to ever break, make that switch to where we can send that energy back in to create the opposing field. All we're going to do is use the high frequency of the energy that is being produced inside the generator at this point in order to change that energy into a totally different form of energy and work our way away from that so that there is no direct connection. And how I know this is possible was when my buddy Raymond was out here, and I've always known it was possible, but we actually got to see a visual of a actual experiment of proving that theory. Is that if you go out to your hardware store and you buy a fluorescent bulb starter, you will notice it looks like a little aluminum can, kind of tiny little thing right there. But if you peel the outer layer off of that, you'll find a glass tube inside there that has a condenser attached to it. And if you look real closely inside that glass tube, you'll notice that there's a little switch inside there, which is activated by temperature. And so, if you take and cut that little condenser off of that tube, now you've got what essentially is a vacuum spark gap that has argon inside of it.
Which it is.
Yeah.
Could you just repeat that last little section again?
Which section?
About the glass tube and the condenser. Where exactly did you get that from?
Oh, there. If you go to the hardware store, you can buy these over here at least about $2 or $3. You get two of them in one package. They're fluorescent bulb starters. And essentially what they do is when the gas gets heated up inside there, it heats up the switch and causes the contacts to come together and turns the power on. And so they're set up so that when the temperature raises and lowers, it'll open and close that switch inside there. Essentially, it's a thermal switch.
Well, Shaziz, do you remember I might have mentioned during the week that I was looking to build a solar oven?
Yeah.
Well, if I've got a thermal switch that's going to activate a fan, it's going to be much easier to regulate a temperature inside it.
Well, there's a bunch of different possibilities for that. But anyway, so as we're running this electric motor, We was producing probably about 450 volts AC, and it was running in through a circuit that was connected to an incandescent light bulb. Now, if you watched really closely, you would notice that in the tube, the argon was actually transferred into the plasma state. You could actually see the purple plasma inside there. However, the incandescent light bulb was not on at this time. And so, until the plasma got up to the right temperature that actually caused the circuit to make the circuit, then we had absolutely no back EMF. But the instant that switch was made, that motor bogged down to the extent that it just almost nearly locked down and literally tripped the breaker on the charging system. So what was going on inside there is that you could take the high voltage, high frequency, and energize the gas into the plasma state. That energy could not make a completed path back to the generator. It was in a total different frequency range and was not able to literally create the magnetic field on the opposite side that is the back EMF that everybody is trying to avoid. And so what was going on inside there was the plasma was actually producing heat, and every so often that it would trip that switch. It would cause the temperature of that plasma inside there would cause the switch to trip, and when it did, it would bog down that generator. But as long as that temperature never rose up, then that plasma was run just fine. No drag on the motor whatsoever.
It is.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of extra information just to throw in there. The reason why your plasma is purple, and for anybody that's interested in that sort of thing, they might want to go and look at the color and spectra, spectrums, like color spectrums of noble gases. And I believe that you use argon gas in yours in particular.
Yeah.
Different noble gas, when it gets an electrical charge, will glow at a certain different color.
Yeah, the noble gases out there, I think, how many range are there? It's like six or eight of them?
Six.
Six of them. Okay.
Helium, neon, argon, krypton, xenon, and radon.
All right, well, I'm going to try to add Raymond in here, because he was actually there when the experiment was taking place. But anyway, while I'm trying to get Raymond in here, so here's the key. The key is we got a lot of technology out there, such as LED technology, where electrons interact with photons and create a visible light. And so, doggone it, I'm getting distracted here. Trying to find Raymond. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, there he is. This is great for radio, ain't it? Alright, I think we got him now.
If we wanted professional mainstream, then, I don't know, I'm not pretty enough for that. I've got a face for radio.
Yeah, me too. So anyway, look at this. I notice that I can put an entire strand on that hard drive motor. If you looked inside that video, that one video where I was spinning the hard drive motor up to its extreme RPMs, had no problem lighting up a 120-volt strand of LEDs, white LEDs. And it could actually get them to the full brightness and actually slightly brighter than they would have been if they were plugged into the wall, depending on the RPMs. But the key was, even with that, even with the LEDs, it bogged down to some extent. You could actually hear it would lock itself down a little bit, and so it was actually making a return path to some extent, but it lessened, it reduced the back EMF on that motor. Now, the more these I put on there, the stronger that back EMF would have gotten. Like, if I would have put, like, let's say, two or three strands on there, it would have got down to the point where it literally locked it down like a brake. because the more electrons that can get in back into that motor, the stronger that second magnetic field is going to become. And so instead of taking this magnetic field and allowing it to go back into that, you want the energy that you've just generated via the generator, but you don't want the back EMF because that makes your input side have to work harder, whether it be a gasoline engine or an electric motor or whatever. It's going to have to work harder. The harder that magnetic field locks down on that rotor, the harder that is going to be for that to turn, and eventually something's got to give. So the trick to the whole entire deal... Dad, burning, I done added you, brother. All right. Let me try it again. Let's see if we got it. You see Raymond in the chat down there? Are you still there, Steve? Yeah, because I hate it when that happens.
I am, but I broke the... As I said earlier, I ran the chair wheel over the little control box for my wireless headphones, so I had to resolder it. One of the casualties was the mute button, so I'm going to have to mute it on Skype instead.
All right, let me try this again. No, I've got
it. Yep. Oh, I see him there. He's added me.
All right, cool. See if you can drag him in, because I already added him in, but... apparently, either didn't pick up the right one or what.
Yeah, give us a second. You carry on, and I'll see if I can get him in the room.
All right, so I don't remember where I was. So anyway, you can test this for yourself with an AC motor and a DC motor. You'll note that the DC motor gets less back EMF if it's a brushless DC motor. Got that industrial strength air conditioner, Raymond.
Yeah, Raymond's in the room.
All right, so if you take a brushless AC motor, that's distracting. All right, if you got a DC motor that is using brushes to transfer the energy, you'll note that the back EMF is extremely less than it would be for an AC motor. And if you note that if you take a diode and you put it in between, even on the AC motor side, to allow the electrons to only flow in one direction, then you will notice that the charge is lessened even on the AC motor, because you're not allowing the electrons to flow back into the motor. However, even with a diode, you're still going to get some energy that's going to actually make that trip back into that deal, which will cause some sort of cogging effect on the deal. Raymond, you got that air conditioner going?
Well, I'm not.
All right. Okay, well, I hear a lot of wind. Anyway... So, Raymond, do you remember when you were out here and we had the little bulb starter connected in series with a incandescent light bulb and to the bridge rectifier and then to the X13 generator?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you remember, as long as the temperature in there wasn't high enough to actually cause the little thermal switch in there to make a connection, that generator didn't bog down in the least until that switch was actually activated?
Exactly.
All right. So essentially, as long as it was in the plasma state, then there was no way for the energy to be able to travel back and create a magnetic field, which is the back EMF that we all are trying to get away from. See, anytime you induce a current into a copper wire, that means you're putting the current into the copper wire. Then you create a magnetic field. Now, if you got your rotor inside there trying to create a current as well, then it's trying to push it out one direction or another. But the moment those two magnetic fields interact with each other, they instantaneously want to correct themselves. It means north to south will flip so that north is north and south is south. It becomes one field, and that is the back EMF, the problem that we all find when we're trying to develop some sort of alternative energy generator. Well, the key is this. You never, ever allow that second field to get back in there. If you can keep the energy changed to a different state and send it out the opposite direction as opposed to back towards the generator, then what you end up having is the same amount of energy, it's just in a completely different state. All right? So imagine this. You got a generator that is connected to a plasma reactor. You send the high-frequency energy, which at that time we was doing about, what, 450 volts, Raymond?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's when I got my arm in the way.
Yeah, that's how you got that nifty little shock. We had 450 volts AC high-frequency waves going into there, and we actually had the plasma going on inside the bulb. And at this point, until that thermal reaction occurred and that switch was closed, then we didn't have the back EMF. But instantaneously, because of all the power inside there, that thing wanted to lock down to the extent that it actually tripped the breaker inside the battery charger that we were using to actually run the two motors.
Yeah, power.
Yeah. So if you take this energy and you bring it into a total different form to where it cannot in any way go back through to the generator, then that second field is never created. And so whatever energy that it takes to produce the amount of energy that you're sending into the plasma reactor remains that just that. If it only takes 1 amp to run this motor, then that 1 amp will remain constant because you absolutely have no back EMF occurring at this stage right now. Now, until you make a completed circuit back to that generator to try to feed off of that generator, then that second field is never created. However, you do have the AC current continuous as long as that rotor's turning. So now the energy is being guided off into an opposite direction that you're going to now take that energy and change it into another form of energy back to the way you want to reuse it, such as like this. And you'll have to, people out there that's wanting to do these experiments will have to run some tests to see. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed, all right, is what the laws of physics state. So all we're doing is moving energy from point A to point B. So if you have,
what you just said, I said it 100,000 times, and I've heard it said 5,000,000,000 times. And the thing is, it's incomplete. You cannot create or destroy energy or matter without destroying or creating the other. That is the complete quote.
All right. Well. Regardless, what I'm talking about is this. Imagine you already have plasma, all right, and the plasma is producing heat, and you can visibly see the plasma, you know, argon being purple, all right. So heat is light, and light is heat, vice versa. Now, instead of having a thermal switch inside that plasma tube, you're going to take that plasma and you're going to use the spectrum of light in order to transmit that to a different deal, such as this. We already know that if I use LEDs, a strand of LEDs on a little hard drive motor, that it will cause some sort of back EMF that will bog it down. But at that point right there, that is visible light. If that visible light was in turn layered across, let's say, a solar panel, all right? So now you've got that light is actually shining on the solar panel and causing the reaction in there. There is actually no direct physical coupling between that magnetic field. You have just taken one form of energy, transferred it over to another form of energy and sent it on down the line, and then charged your battery and ran your load off of that, as opposed to the initial power coming out of the generator. Thus far, you get no more back EMF than what those LEDs have created. You follow me so far?
Completely.
All right, so if we know the visible light spectrum of the argon gas, then we know what range that we can try to figure out how to use solar-powered, you know, there's a range in the light spectrum that solar panels work best. But with the infrared technology and all the different LED technology, modifying a plasma reactor that will basically pick up the different light spectrums and transform it into usable current on the other side of the deal right there. Essentially, what you would end up with is if you had a 12-volt motor running a generator head, you would start off with your 12-volt motor. It would be spinning your generator head at high RPM, sending a high frequency out through the generator head into a gas-filled chamber that was energized into the plasma state. There's no way for that energy to come back and create a magnetic field because you have changed that frequency. It's not the same energy that you're generating from the magnetic force that is spinning past the coils of copper wire. So to this point, you have absolutely no back EMF being created as far as the standard models apply. So now...
Two light spectrums that produce most of the energy from solar panels, depending on what type of solar panel you got, but the general rule of thumb is ultraviolet, which is 10 newton meters to 380 newton meters, picks up about 46% of sunlight, and infrared at 750 to 1 million newton meters picks up about 47%.
So if we took multiple different gases, all the different gases in the noble gas spectrum, and we had those, all of them being energized at the same exact time, like we had argon being energized, that would be one light spectrum. We had neon being energized, that'd be another light spectrum, and so on and so forth. And then we had our receivers, such as the customized solar panels that would pick up all these different light spectrums, adding to the energy transfer on the other side. Does it make any sense where I'm going with this?
It makes a lot of sense to me. I don't have the background as a dumb redneck, so I have to think about things a bit.
Well, you go get the modern day little toys that they got, the little wobbly toys. And you'll notice that these little wobbly toys will literally work with fluorescent lighting. Right? The solar panels are so efficient that they will literally work with fluorescent lighting or incandescent lighting or ambient light from the outside to the inside. So that tells me that they're really super efficient. Now imagine if we can literally take that, keeping the gas in the plasma state, like halogen is a really bright gas going on when it's lit up, when it's energized. They use it in bulbs, like auto bulbs. And so if you've got this bright light spectrum that can in turn send that light energy to the solar panel, then you're going to obviously be generating some electricity on the side. Now, whether it's equal to the amount that's actually coming out of the generator or not, this is where the mathematics comes into play. What is the best light spectrum to energize the solar panels, and which solar panels are going to be the most efficient under which particular light spectrums? So if you covered all the bases with all the gases and you had maybe a sandwich kind of deal, kind of stacked up like a phone book, all the different, you got a layer of solar panel, you got a layer of LED technology, you got a layer of gas, And all this is basically working in conjunction with each other to ensure that every bit of energy that that electric generator is capable of producing is transferred from the normal state into a different frequency range via all these different gases, all right? So to this point, as long as it's in that gas state, in the plasma state, none of it is able to create the same frequency range that actually creates the back EMF in the motor. So that driving force and that generating force will remain constant all the time. Now you take
What's really interesting about sunlight is, as I said before, 46% of it is ultraviolet, 47% of it is infrared, and it's the Earth's atmosphere that scatters and absorbs most of the harmful radiation. And it's only something like 7% of any sunlight that we have that's usable by solar panels.
So correct me if I'm wrong, heat generates infrared light.
I wouldn't know too much about that. I know that if you use an infrared lamp, they use it for bad muscles because it will produce heat.
Well, once we got all the particulars of which light spectrum does which, all of its energy, it doesn't matter whether it's coming from the sun or whether it's coming from whatever. See, there's a lot of stuff going on in the sun. There's explosions going on and fluctuations in the magnetic field. See, the thing about magnets is magnets will always try to correct themselves no matter how hard you try, whether you do it via copper wire windings or whether you do it with magnets itself. Now, people have tried to twist the magnets, turn them and tilt them and do whatever they can to try to keep this reaction at its bare minimum, but you always have some sort of cogging effect. And so even with the copper wire, even if you have absolutely no magnets in there, but you have two copper wires, once the field is induced in that copper wire on either side, once they both are interacting with each other, those magnetic forces will instantaneously try to right themselves, and that's where you get the back EMF that stops it down like a brake. So understanding that, with the standard way that we actually do electricity today, as long as we never allow the electron flow back into that generator and we just use that generated energy as it's coming out and change it to a completely different energy and never put that motor under a direct load, there is absolutely no way to bog that motor down. So all we're going to do is change the energy from the magnetic force driving the lines of flux across the copper wire, inducing the current, and we're going to send that energy out in AC waves that will energize the gas, turning that gas into a light spectrum, and we will transfer that light energy however we choose to do so from that point on. But either way, we'll not allow any direct coupling back to the generator. What do you guys think?
Well, from what I can see, I contradicted my first statement with the second statement because I'm already too quick and got it wrong. But, I mean, from what I understand about solar panels, you've N-type and P-types of semiconductor material that use a visual light spectrum to generate electricity, because the wavelengths from 380 to 780 newton meters, like violet to red, of enough power and energy when they hit the surface of the materials to dislodge electrons. But what they're talking about is discovery of different semiconductor materials from indium, gallium and nitrogen can convert virtually the full spectrum of light. So you're going from 7% of the light spectrum to perhaps 90% using different materials.
Cool. Well, in an LED, the reason why that strand of LEDs was able to be ran by that little hard drive motor without bogging it down like an incandescent light bulb would be, is because with the tungsten element inside that incandescent light bulb, it allowed a complete transfer of that electron back into the deal and made a complete loop. But an LED, is a directional, it's a diode. It only allows the electron flow to go in one direction. Now keep in mind that the energy can overcome that diode, and actually some of it will make it back in the opposite direction. So it's not a perfect way to stop it, but you will notice a physical reduction in the back EMF by running LEDs on the same exact system. Well, LEDs work by... Hold on a second. LEDs work by when electrons interact with photons in the specific layers of material that they use in the LED technology, it actually produces a visible light. Yeah.
Well, it's a really, really weird thought. I have no idea if this is what you're talking about or not, but it sounds like it is to me. If you take two electromagnets, horseshoe-shaped electromagnets, now, with no electricity going through the coil, they're not magnetic. But if you put the two together to where the four ends touch each other, and you energize either one, it doesn't matter. You energize either one of the two electromagnets. They become magnets, and they drop, they hold themselves together.
Yeah, now, the perpetual motion together, holder.
But yes, because you can turn the electricity off. And they still hold each other together.
Yeah.
The magnetism stays because it's complete. Now look, there is no back EMF. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. You notice how whenever like Muddy does this all the time, when he wants to stop the prop on the actual flux generator, he will literally create a dead short. Now, that energy is already trying to induce a current inside the copper wire. All right, the magnetic flux lines are actually traveling through that copper wire. And so the moment you touch those two copper wire or two wires together, it will create a magnetic field inside there that will in turn couple with the magnetic field coming from the magnets and lock it down like a brake. So yeah. There is energy going on in there even when this thing is completely stationary. And until there's some sort of acting force on the outside, such as you touching those two wires together, nothing occurs. But the moment you touch those two wires together, I mean, you can see it. You can freewheel it, spin it, and everything's fine. Touch those wires, and it locks down. So when somebody is able to figure out how to create the same reaction without, then they'll have the holy grail of the existing generators. But in the meantime, we ever want to even get it to that point. We don't ever want to make that circuit to where now the energy can travel back into and create that opposing force. Because if you read Lenz's law, you'll see that he says in time of currents induced that there's always an opposing force that will match up and lock it down. That's what they call back EMF.
That's exactly the idea that I got from you showing me when I was there last weekend.
Yeah,
it took me a while to sink in, but what you're explaining right now is exactly how I saw it when I left. Because, you know, I've said it before, and I said it, tried to say it nice, and people didn't listen. Okay, so now I'm going to get crude. If you just shut your cotton picking mouth and listen to Shaziz, and open your ears and your heart and your mind, actually listen to what the man is saying, and put it in reality, in real form, you can see it. He is 100% correct.
Well, this is a simple concept to prove here, Raymond. If we go and go to the Everything a Dollar store, and we get a little bitty outdoor solar lights, we can take one of those little solar panels and get some LEDs and actually build a little system to where the LEDs will shine onto that solar panel and then block all that entire portion of the system completely away from sunlight. All right, so that there's no way that any outside influence could happen on there. Then we can take any permanent magnet motor and basically create a generator with that and spin that magnet motor up, and you should be able to register a voltage on the opposite side. But you shouldn't have any more cogging effect than the natural cogging effect of the way that motor was designed. Preferably using a hard drive motor because of the way that those things are designed. You see that the higher the RPMs get, the higher the voltage gets. You see, you follow me so far?
I tried to put everything in terms that I understand. I understand hydraulics. So you take a gallon of water and you pour it on a piece of steel, you now have a wet piece of steel. But if you take a gallon of water, put it in a container, and you put 30,000 PSI on it, and you have an exit for the water under pressure of 1/64th of an inch, you can cut steel with it. I mean, I try to put things in perspective of what I understand, and that's the way you explained it to me while I was there with you.
Yep.
It's amazing what you're trying to do, and it is possible. It's just we got to figure out how.
Well,
nothing is impossible unless you remove ability.
It's already figured out how. As far as I'm concerned, the moving energy from one point to the next is the easy portion. All right, where we get all our losses as far as our generating systems go is in mechanical losses and back EMF and all that. And this is why all the people out there who are into electronics and all that will continuously say that it is impossible to defy the laws of physics. Now, what I keep trying to tell everybody is I'm not even remotely trying to defy the laws of physics, but if I know that two magnetic fields will join each other, couple, and try to correct themselves north to north and south to south, then I want to try to avoid that scenario as much as possible and still get physical work done. So if I'm going to run a generator, if I'm going to run a motor, then it's not a problem. Okay, I can run the motor and not have to worry about the back EMF because the energy is being used up as I'm sending it in. The problem comes on the generator head side of it, that once you try to use it as a generator in the conventional sense, then that energy being transferred in a figure eight, like the flow of electricity is going clockwise. And then on the opposite side, you made the circuit with turning the light bulb on. Now energy is now going counterclockwise, and wants to slam head to head into the energy that you're trying to generate out for your load. And so that is what creates the back EMF and causes the braking effect, because these two fields are trying to right themselves. They're trying to correct themselves, north to north and south to south. So my proposal is to, instead of trying to put it under a direct load, energize the energy coming out there into an inert gas that will turn it into the plasma state. And we know that the plasma will create heat because it was actually able to trip a thermal switch, which was the fluorescent bulb starters. And as long as it was just in the plasma state, there was absolutely no back EMF going on. But the moment that thermal switch reached its temperature that was able to close that and make that circuit, that was when the generator bogged down and that energy transfer went from the generator to the driving force all the way back to the power supply that we were using, which was a battery charger. And we tried it at 2 amps and we tried it at 6 amps. And at every single range of putting energy in, we was never able to overcome that force. It always broke the breaker inside the power supply. So
okay, wait a minute. I want to say something to the listeners out there. If you don't understand what Suzette is saying, think about this. I was there. I'm not an electronic person. I was there. I saw it. I even had my hands on. There was almost no effort to create the plasma. And the plasma just sat there and glowed and glowed and glowed. But like Skidder said, when it reached a certain point, it tripped the switch. Now, I'm not sure if this is what Skidder is trying to say. Don't trip the switch.
That's right. Exactly.
As long as the plasma.
Take the energy that you just generated from the plasma state, which is the same amount of energy that you got whenever you started. It's just in a different form. Now this energy has two potentials. One is it will act as a diode, which will not allow the current to flow back into the system. And so you have a rectifier already in the plasma itself. Now, on the opposite side there, you also have heat that is being generated by the friction of the argon gas or whichever inert gas that you put in there is generating heat, which is obvious by the fact that it was able to trip that thermal switch. Now, you can actually capture that heat if you had built you a plasma reactor that was full of argon, you have your reactor that is actually directly connected to your generator head, which at this stage will never ever create back EMF, because all you're doing is taking the high frequency out of that generator and producing plasma inside there. So you're changing the energy waveform. And then if you can visualize a container that has a coil of copper wire inside of the vacuum down there with the plasma, we already know that the plasma will generate heat. You can transfer that heat from the plasma out via water or any other liquid that you pump through that. And also at the same exact time, you can take that energy and you can transfer it out via either light or a different form of electricity that you actually store in a capacitor bank. So what you essentially have is multiple possibilities of turning that energy back into the energy that is necessary to run the things that you want to run.
Okay, now, so the people out there will fully understand, you've said several times we were using a battery charger as a source of power, or power source, but the thing is, you didn't mention that we did the exact same thing with the generator.
Yeah.
I mean, with my hand, we were turning it, and it did the same thing. It was almost no effort whatsoever to do the exact same thing by hand.
Yeah.
So the energy in by saying we were using a battery charger on 2 amps and sometimes 6 amps suggests that we were putting a lot of energy into this thing, when in reality, when we looked into the motor, we saw there was almost no energy. Yet we were still making the same amount of plasma.
Yep.
Just turning it by hand. In fact, at one time, you even put a pair of light strips on the shaft and turn it with one finger. I mean, the whole time you're sitting there talking and, you know, drinking coffee or with one hand and turning the generator with the other with no effort. And, I mean, I just want to clarify to the listeners out there that we had a power source, a battery charger, okay? But what that did was leave our 2 hands free to do other things. We did the exact same thing by hand. And, I mean, almost no effort whatsoever. I just want people out there to understand.
It's super simple to create high voltage, and this is why, and this is what I probably should have said a long time ago, this is why I don't care about current watts and amps. I want the highest voltage, because the highest voltage has the highest frequency. You can send a 1.5 volt battery into a barbecue ignition deal and get out thousands of volts of electricity. All right, and so that thousands of volts of electricity is enough to generate plasma. All right, now all I did from this point on, I never changed the amount of energy that I was using, nor did I change the amount of energy that was coming out. I just ramped the speed of that energy up to thousands of volts. The voltage is pressure. And so when that pressure... hold on a second. When that pressure makes it into that gas, it causes the molecules inside that gas to bounce off of each other the same exact way that your microwave oven cooks your food. All right, it causes the molecules to rock back and forth, creating friction, which in turn creates heat. Heat is light, light is heat, vice versa. So now you have literally changed that waveform into a completely different waveform that any normal electric motor will not recognize. All right, you cannot run your motor off of plasma. It's not designed to run off of that frequency range. However, that energy that is within that plasma reactor is now under pressure. It also has heat going on. Now all you have to do is turn that plasma back into usable current, which is as simple as shooting across a spark gap down into a capacitor bank, charging that capacitor bank up. Now you're into the microfarad and farad range and above, depending on how fast you can dump that into that deal, and your charge rate and discharge rate of your capacitors, and so now you have literally changed that plasma back into usable current again. Do you understand it now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
What could you do with 20 billion volts?
20 million volts, you could create enough plasma to light up the entire planet.
Well, I just bought a generator for you, and next time I come up, I'm going to bring it up. It's your birthday present. It produces 20 billion volts.
See, the whole key about it is, look, no matter what you do, whatever energy you put in one side, you're going to get the same amount out the other side. That's according to their own laws of physics. Now, in the standard sense, you're getting losses in there, so there's always losses occurred, all right, because of mechanical or heat or whatever. So if you're not trying to draw upon that load, all you're trying to do is take that energy and move it from point A to point B. You have absolutely no losses. All you're doing is moving the energy from point A to point B. Whether you do it by waving your hand, you still sent the same amount of energy from the force that you put in to begin with. Your initial force is the same amount of energy that's going to make it to the other side. Now, what we are talking about doing is not defying the laws of physics, but using that action that nature does, such as a rubber band. You know, if you stretch a rubber band out, and you're looking down one end of it, and you let go of the one farthest away from you, you're going to get popped in the eye. All right? Well, that's where the energy from what nature does. Nature stretched it out, you let it go, and then pow, you got hit in the eye. All right? So you're going to use that force in between to get physical work done. You see what I mean? Yeah.
I was thinking about all of this business about electricity. So I looked for articles about the speed of electricity, and I came across an interesting article that was written in 1996 by a guy called Bill Beattie, and it's entitled "The Speed of Electricity," and he's given you a couple of different answers there, but he's got a quick answer and a complicated answer, and the complicated answer isn't actually that complicated. And I mean, just to quickly paraphrase it, he says that within all metals there is a substance which can move. This stuff has several different names: the sea of charge, the electron sea, or the electron gas or charge. And the state that electric currents are, and state that electric currents are flows of electricity. Calling it electricity can be misleading because many people believe that electricity is a form of energy, yet charge is not energy, and currents flows of energy. Also, it can be misleading because the sea of charge exists in all metal objects, all the time, even when the metal hasn't been made into a wire and is not part of an electrical device.
Yep.
If the electron sea is electricity, then we must say that all metals are always full of electricity, and the batteries are simply electricity pumps.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, that there is just as much potential energy in a dead bat.
I need to get through one or two more paragraphs.
All right, go ahead.
It's not long, but it kind of explained a lot of stuff to me that I was a little bit confused about. Better to call it by the name of charge C and avoid the misleading word electricity entirely. During an electrical current, the metal wire stays still and the sea of electricity flows along through it. When the flashlight switch is turned off and the light bulb goes dark, the charge C stops moving forward. Even though it stops moving, the charge C is still inside the wire. If the flashlight again is turned on and two light bulbs are connected in parallel instead of one, the electric current will have twice as large a value, and twice as much light will be created. And most important, the charge C within the battery's wires will flow twice as fast. In other words, the speed of charge is proportional to the value of electric currents. Small currents means low speed charge flow, large currents means high speed. Zero current means the charges have stopped in place. Note, however, that the electrical current does not have just one speed within any circuit. Charges speed up when they flow into a thinner wire. The high current in a large flashlight lantern bulb will move much faster than the same current in other conductors in the lantern. Even though an electric current is a very slow flow of charges, we can't know the actual flow unless we know the value of the amperes and current in the wire. But I mean, basically what they're saying is different metals have different amounts of movable charges with them, basically atoms. Things like copper, the charge will flow faster because there's more movable atoms in the elements than there is something like aluminium. But I mean, I'll put the link up there in the chat for people to read themselves. Obviously I'm not a great narrator, but it just kind of made a hell of a lot of sense from what you were saying. Even Ray, you were saying about hydraulics.
Yeah, Tesla, you know, has a tri-metal generator patent out there. Go look at that tri-metal generator patent. That falls right within what you just got to explaining.
I mean, they're saying they've got an equation here for the speed of energy, if you like. And it runs 0.023 centimeters per second.
Okay, here's one for you, really good. Is electricity, the speed of electricity, fast or slower than the speed of light?
Debatable.
All right, so when you go turn your light switch on, you have a certain speed of electricity, and if light is faster, then the instant you turn that on, the light will actually get to you faster than that electric was actually going in through there. So could it potentially be that light can actually speed up electricity when it's actually transformed into that form?
Very possibly. I mean, they say that the speed of electricity, if just off of the top of the thumb, is 300,000 kilometers per second.
So what you're saying, what that thing you read just said, is that electricity is not a thing. Charge is not a thing. Electricity and charge is an adjective. They're adjectives, a descriptive.
Yeah,
they describe something. There is no such thing as electricity as a battery. It's potential electricity. Electricity, the definition I've learned, is the flow of electrons.
Yeah,
So it's the descriptive.
The key to what he just said, to simplify it in layman's term, is that a dead battery has just as much potential energy as a fully charged battery. They're just equaled back out exactly the way the two magnetic fields try to correct themselves.
Yes, exactly.
So essentially what you got going on here, if you're willing to take it to the next level, is the holy grail of electricity. If you want to use energy, see, they keep saying that, there's no such thing as free energy. That's why I put the comment on that specific video when that guy said the free energy idiots keep trying to tell him things. Well, I don't know who he's been talking to, but apparently they don't understand energy. Because when I talk about free energy, I'm talking about, look what the sun does. When's the last time you got a bill from the sun? Think about all the different types of energy that's coming off the sun. Not just heat, not just infrared or ultraviolet. There's multiple frequency ranges coming from that sun because there's many things going on that sun. So the sun is a plethora of energy frequencies. All right, that's just one natural force that we can tap into. Wind at different speeds will produce different amounts of energy. There's reactions that you can get from the dirt itself, the chemistry in the dirt. You get telluric currents from the earth. There's a magnetic field in the earth. There's so many different forms of energy out there. It's not because energy isn't free. It's because you don't understand how to use it properly. And so if we know that Lenz's law states that for every time you induce a current into a copper wire, it will oppose the magnetic field. They'll try to correct themselves. All right, it north to north, south to south. Otherwise, you get that repulsion that we use for turning our motors. But if you just introduce the current in there, the motor would flip around and stop right there, wherever the magnetic field was north to north and south to south. So we have to figure out fancy ways of which to pulse that current in from one side to the next side and back and forth so that we can keep that continuous flow going on. My proposal is this. we don't ever try to defeat that back EMF. If we're going to try to use it as a generating source, if we want to use it as a driving force, such as running an electric motor, then it's fine. We can work with the back EMF because we're not actually drawing a load from that. Unless we try to spin that motor as it's spinning clockwise. If you took an electric motor, permanent magnet motor, and it was spinning clockwise, and you had a way that you could actually grab a hold of that doggone thing and literally spin it backwards, you would create back EMF. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that.
Oh, there. I saw you do it.
Yep.
Shaziz.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked up the periodic table for argon?
Yeah, quite some time back, but my memory fails me, so what you got?
A boiling point of 186 degrees Celsius.
Well, that's good news to know, because...
Are we looking at copper as well, which is mostly what you're using to feed into it, aren't you?
Well, the thing that I've learned throughout all these induction motors is you don't even need copper wire in order to generate electricity.
No, you can use any metal. It flows through it at different rates. I mean, if you're looking at argon versus copper, I mean, the number of positive electrons in argon is 18, but it's 29 in copper. So, as they were saying as well, you've got like a wide river going into a narrow river. It's going to create pressure.
Yes,
you're right.
And if the melting point of argon is significantly lower than... the boiling point of argon is significantly lower than copper, you're going to need less energy to create plasma.
Yeah, and then that heat that actually could be used at that temperature, which we know that the plasma produces heat because it's able to activate a thermal switch. That energy transfer could actually be used to heat water. So you could build a plasma reactor heater.
I mean, if I might just be completely talking out of my backside here. You know, if I read that document right, you know, you can transfer this sea of energy, not necessarily electricity, but you're trying to move that sea of charge through various different elements and various different metals. And the more electrons it has, the faster it can move, because there's more movable elements within it. When you get to less elements, it moves less quickly. But when you have something that has a high boiling point and melting point going into something that has something nearly one-tenth of the same, then you're going to need less energy to create that plasma.
Yeah, and while Raymond was here, we were sitting there, and him and I spent many days troubleshooting all kinds of different things, and he was talking about that... You know, water in its natural state takes a certain amount of force in order to be able to move it, all right? So it's obvious that if you want to move water from point A to point B, you have to have quite a substantial amount of force depending on how high you want to pump this water or how far you want to move it. However, just like I'm saying with plasma, if you take that potential energy, which is the water, and even the driving force that it would take to move that water, and you energize that water into, let's say, a vapor. You break it down into, make its molecular structure down into its smallest point. Now you have a situation to where that water is extremely light, and it doesn't take near the force that it would take to move that water from point A to point B. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I was looking this up the other day. Lituya Bay in Alaska has the record for the highest ever visibly seen tsunami, and there was a huge chunk of rock that basically ended up in a landslide into an enclosed bay, and the water basically lifted 1,722 feet because it was trapped inside a bay,
And when all this rock came crashing down from the 3,000 feet on a peak into this bay, it pushed water up 525 meters and destroyed all trees and everything, and it just literally scoured it.
Okay, if you had way, hold on a second. If you had a way to literally vaporize a rock into dust, and you picked that pile of dust up and you threw it right above your head and it fell down, it would actually not have enough energy to conk you on the head. But now think about this. If you had a potential to raise, take that energy, take that same rock and put it into dust and then be able to vacuum it up a tube and get it way up there and recombine that rock back to its natural state, now how much potential energy in the fall do you have when that rock hits your head?
You ever been inside a grain silo, should it? Or like a flour silo?
Yeah.
Water.
Well, they put static straps, like earths, on all of these. Because if you pour flour into a fine enough mist and you put a flame underneath it, it will explode.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. You got a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called explosion.
But if you can then harness that explosive force, you got another source of energy there as well.
Yep.
I mean, if you could...
They were first developed in Europe. They were not designed to burn or made to burn diesel fuel. They were designed to burn coal dust, because coal dust, like flour, is extremely explosive and has a lot of power. And that, I mean, cylinders were designed to burn coal dust, not diesel fuel.
So why are we using biofuels when we can grow coal and grind it into a fine dust and use it as a highly explosive force?
Well, there you go. Anything will burn if it's atomized.
I mean, this new technology either, because if you look at virtually any customs house that was built around about the 16th to the 18th century, they've got hundreds of windows to provide ventilation, because if not, they had a bad habit of getting blown up if there was a fire.
What you're really saying is they're really dumb when they take corn and turn it into alcohol, when we should eat the corn, dry the stalks, grind them into powder, and run our damn diesel engines on there.
Yep.
Excuse my French, I'm sorry. And we run our diesel engines on ground up corn stalks and corn leaves. We eat the corn.
There you go. And instead of using a whole lot of energy to pump water, change the water, such as that sonic mister that you brought out and showed me. Now, it didn't take a whole lot of energy in order to run that sonic mister. It ran off 110 volts AC. It produced a massive amount of vapor. And knowing that it's actually now in that state, we'll know that you actually building up some pressure, because it has expanded into smaller molecules. So if you wanted to build the perfect pump, you could build it such as using the sonic power to atomize it, vaporize it, or whatever the proper terminology is, and that pressure inside a closed tube will cause that to go up. All right, when because the pressure has to go somewhere. It can't go back the opposite direction, obviously, because it's plugged. So it has to go somewhere. It's going to take the path of least resistance. And so you're pushing that mist up into a condenser, which the condenser is now cooling that water back down and causing that water to go back into its natural state, into water droplets. Those water droplets fill up into the pan. Now you have the driving force of falling water to not only pick up a static charge such as Lord Kelvin generator, but you have the pressure on the downfall of that being built up. So using the Venturi effect, now you could build air pressure. And as the water is falling down as well, you could use the same weight mass as it's falling down to turn a wheel that would turn a turbine, generating power. So there are so many different ways to use the energy. You're just moving it from point A to point B with the least amount of resistance. Am I wrong?
Chazis, what's the point of a carburetor in a car engine?
Well, essentially, it just basically makes the fuel smaller, kind of atomizes it to some extent, brings the stream down lower into, instead of a stream, into a mist, and then it mixes the proper air mixture so that it can burn. So, you know, without oxygen, yeah, it can't burn.
This is my point with corn dust or any type of dust, is it's the quantity of oxygen.
Yeah. So even if you was able to blow like coffee creamer down inside your piston, all right, the ignition of that spark is just like the ignition of you going in there in the grain bin and creating a spark and igniting that. That has explosive power to it. The oxygen that was coming in from the top of the carburetor via your air filter or whatever, keeping out the dust, maybe it would be a case is, of whenever you're running your carburetor, you want to kick the doggone filter completely off of it and suck in the dust, all right? If you had high enough voltage going through that spark plug, you could ignite that dust just as well as you could ignite the dust from the coffee creamer. So you would want that crud to be sucked down into the combustion chamber because you're going to ignite that crud into fuel.
Well, don't they call them hydrocarbons?
Yeah.
Because they have large volumes of hydrogen. Now, I mean, people might be listening to me and thinking, who is this guy waffling pseudoscience and nonsense? But we're all on a learning curve, and I'm trying to work some stuff out. And I've had very indifferent opinions from very indifferent people. As I said before, there were some people that like to live in the woods and use the bucket for their, let's say...
Raymond had a brilliant...
material, but...
Raymond had a brilliant idea with using the sonic mist or whatever the heck you call that doggone thing. It basically creates fog. Using that sonic mister and allowing that mist to be sucked down into the carburetor, now you have a really molecule being sucked into the carburetor and is able to use the heat and the pressure of the piston and the ignition source going on inside there to burn that on demand. So it would make your...
Actually, does not burn it. What it does, you reduce water to its molecular level. It's still water. It's super light, super fine. It can move readily, but it's still water.
Yeah.
With a little bit of heat, steam, one molecule of water, once it reaches its gas state, turning into steam, expands 1,600 times its size, which gives you 3.7 times more power than gasoline.
Well, there you go. Regardless of
the
that,
point I'm trying to make is every time a fuel company talks about hydrocarbons, they're actually laughing at us, because these hydrocarbons means there's a lot of hydrogen locked up in the carbon fuels. Well, why don't we just get rid of the carbon and use hydrogen instead? And maybe that's what Stan Meyer was doing. Now that's what...
I'm not going to...
Hydrogen is a lot hotter than gasoline. And you need the excess heat to turn water into steam. So if you've got a little bit of hydrogen, a little tiny bit of water, you burn the hydrogen, and the water is reduced to a molecular state. You burn the hydrogen not for the power of the hydrogen, but for the heat. It turns the steam, I mean the molecules of water into steam, giving you 3.7 times more power than gasoline. You now have a steam on demand engine.
Yep.
And
I'm
you
not
know
going
why
to
water turns into steam and it expands so highly? It's because water is hydrogen and oxygen. And when you break that bond between the two, that's where you get the expansion from.
Yeah. I'm not gonna read out the comments Stephen put in there, but it's brilliant. It's about the corn deal. Go in there and read that to Steve.
I do like it when people say things that I can't.
Yeah. I don't know how to strategically say this without being crude on the
Well, let's put it
biofuel, let's just say that.
There's a reason why women follow camels through the desert.
This isn't going to be something I got to edit out, is it?
No, but women in the Bedouin tribes will follow camels through the desert, and when the camels have finished their business, they'll pick it up, they'll dry it, and they'll use it as a fuel for a fire.
Oh, well, see, there you go. Biofuel.
Yeah, I mean, people have been doing this for thousands of years. It's nothing new.
All right, well, let's say we take a quick coffee break, folks.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. Everybody, you're listening to the Mad Science Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back with some more madness.
Can you read?
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Yeah, give me the number for 911. Anyone, you guys got that?
No, sorry, mate.
Oh, man. Okay, well, it's good to
hear.
Huh? You cut out.
I used to know what number for 911 was, but I forgot.
Yeah,
after
me
all,
too.
I'm telling you, one of your Alzheimer's is cutting in. Well, I'll tell you this, the Germans put 911 on the Porsches that they sent to America, so when people actually, it occurred, they knew which number to ring.
Yeah. Alright, so back to alternative energy. I am stating right here, right now, that we have every single thing we need to build the perfect power source. If anybody out there is interested in actually coming together and doing this, then now's the time to start building the team, the dream team, as far as I'm concerned. And if we can get these folks together in the alternative energy community in one room at one time, and I can actually get them to hear me out from point A to point B, I got all the designs in my head ready to roll for anybody who wants it for free of charge to the entire world. Now, it's obvious that it's going to take some sort of investment when the plans are set down, that it's going to take some sort of investment to build the stuff. But I believe that if we want to build a prototype, we can build the prototype out of existing parts. That's a key word, existing parts, right off the shelf, without any modifications, just putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Now, to build an actual physical prototype to do exactly what it is that I am talking about doing, we need somebody who is really good in glass and who is really good in sealing the glass. We need somebody who is really good with chemistry, such as knowing the knowledge of inert gases and so on and so forth. We need somebody in heating. We need somebody in plumbing. We need to make sure absolutely 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt there are no leaks involved in this particular system. So, with that said, we got every single thing that we need out there. We, as far as material-wise, knowledge-wise, all the different things that's going on in there, as far as all the different energies that we can tap into. We're not talking about defying the laws of physics. We're not trying to get out more than we're putting in, because what we're getting out will be sufficient to run everything that it is that we need to run. It is the standard... I gotta add Stone Lee in there. Hold on a second. Alrighty then. Can you, one of you guys, add Stone Lee in there, or do you have him in your contacts?
I don't have Stone Lee.
Alright. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, that just kind of distracted me, and I was on a roll, too. Alright. There we go. Let's try this.
Well, Shazuz, while you're adding Stone Lee in, I just want to throw in a little tidbit when we were talking about hydrogen. And when we talk about hydrogen, most people think about the Hindenburg. And here's an ironic fact that I just found.
It wasn't the worst airship accident in history. The worst was the USS Akron, a US Navy airship that crashed off the coast of New Jersey in a severe storm in 1993 that took 73 airmen's lives. And the reason why the Hindenburg had heat hydrogen instead of helium is because the Americans refused to allow them to fly with helium, which is less explosive. So they've just got my facts to fill the space there.
Alright, so essentially, if you're going to use hydrogen, you need to ensure that you're using the potential energy of the hydrogen on demand, so that you're using it and you're not getting no buildup, which we know is possible. Stan Myers has already done that. He's already proven that. So, yeah.
I have Stone Lee. How do I get him into the call?
He should be in here now. You there, Stone?
He dropped in and dropped out.
Oh,
really?
All right.
I don't know how to answer, but grab the icon and just drop it into the room they're speaking in.
Yeah.
It'll add it. Just on his icon, drag it. Yeah, it's his Windows. It's all drag and drop. I worked with an IT guy that said my old man was into drag and drop technology 30 years ago. He worked on the council bin round.
Alrighty then. So, moving right along there, what you guys try to get Stone Lee in there, I already added him, but apparently he didn't pick up. So, I had that problem with Raymond earlier. We had to go to a totally different call. Anyway, we have every single thing we need. We have every single piece of the puzzle to literally build the perfect generator, to literally build the perfect power source. And all we're doing is moving energy from one point to the next and using it as efficiently as possible. So, who wants to get together and put this thing together? That's the question. It says it's, well, he's in there, man. I can see him typing in the chat room. All right. So, I want to try to get together with all the energy researchers out there who's interested in putting this alternative green energy, clean energy, free energy, whatever, 0 point over unity all to bed in one shot. So if there's any researchers out there listening, you can contact me via Skype, contact me on YouTube, contact me at ShazizRadio.com or off of Facebook, off of Twitter. I mean, it's all over out there. Made myself pretty accessible. If you're interested in being part of the team to build it, let's get it done, because I'm getting too tired to be messing around. So, what do you think, Raymond?
I think we got a good thing going here. I think we got a great thing going here. You know, you said earlier, I said it before you said it, but then you said it again. If people would just give you the respect to be quiet and listen to you all the way through, then they would understand it. You know what the heck you're talking about. I don't know enough about electronics to interrupt you. Therefore, when I was there, I listened. You know, I asked a few questions, but I listened mainly.
Well,
and everything you say makes sense. Once you get the whole picture, we got Stanley.
The simple key is that everybody holds a piece of the puzzle. You know, my manufacturing skills, they stink. But, there's other researchers out there that have some spectacular manufacturing skills. There's researchers out there that have the tools to build custom parts and such. And so,
right.
All we need to do is get the right team together. And I'm saying within 30 days' time of these people coming together, we will be done. All right, and I'm giving us 30 days for when Murphy's Law kicks in and something goes wrong. All right, I believe it could actually be done in less than a week. That we could actually have a physical running device that can be proven, and at the same sense, while proving this device, not even remotely defy the laws of physics at any given time. As far as the standard laws of physics apply, all we're doing is using we know for a fact that the anytime you induce a current into a copper wire, you create a counterforce that turns around. They call it back EMF. I call it a second electromagnetic field. Other people call it a pain in the neck because it acts as a brake, and they actually use it as a brake in regenerative braking. So, as opposed to trying to defeat the back EMF, we just don't never let it happen. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I saw you do it.
Yeah, you saw it.
I saw you do it. It's amazing. The only thing that really upset me is every time you get shot, you made sure I didn't have a camera on you so people could watch.
Well,
holy cow, this can move.
You gotta be faster with the camera, or get a wide to step back and get the whole picture in at the same time. You know,
probably that's why I bought two more cameras. I bought two more cameras, two batteries, because I'm gonna have one camera back off, so way back, so it watches every move we make.
All right.
That way we take the funny part, but they cut them out, put them in.
for all those folks out there that are concerned about radiation, microwaves, or any of the negative side effects to all the different machinery out there, radio frequencies, all that kind of stuff. For all those folks out there that are concerned about that kind of energy being dangerous, what I'm talking about has absolutely no side effects whatsoever. You're not putting this out into a strong field.
You can't say that.
Yes, I can say that. I can't say that because I know it for a fact, and I can prove it. I can prove every single bit of what I'm saying, or I wouldn't be saying it. Like the microwave.
I think some of the things that we're really looking for are outside of the realm of our understanding.
Well,
you know, you talk about copper wire, and you talk about back, and you talk about all the stuff. Is someone looking for
biotics? The what?
Shazia Stoney's got a fair fault there, because the man that thinks he's got all the answers is the biggest fool on the planet.
And hey, Shazia, she said it yourself when I was in Missouri. The thing is that what Stoney said right there goes right along with what you said. And that is, when you use words, some people have their definition, their understanding. But the thing is, radiation doesn't mean radioactive.
Yeah.
I mean, people sit around a campfire in the wintertime to get warm. How do they do that? Because the fire radiates heat. It's radiation, not radioactive.
Well,
that's what you're looking for. And what you're doing.
And so, everybody who's in alternative energy knows what a Faraday cage is. All you have to do is walk to your microwave oven and look closely at the front door of your microwave oven, and you can see the answer to a microwave. All right. The reason why there is a Faraday cage in the face of the microwave oven is so that any microwaves that if you want to be able to see what's going on inside that microwave oven and have glass, then you need to be shielded from any potential microwaves coming out of there. And so what a Faraday cage does is simply breaks up the microwave to where it is no longer a microwave and no longer harmful. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do. Exactly.
A microwave...
Is there may have been people that have always discovered what we're searching for, but they neglected to share it with us.
Yeah.
But even those people don't have the answer to everything.
And since you guys were talking about, you know, combustible things, like even water, when it's vaporized to the right point, is exposed. Everything is. Dirt. You can take dirt, and if you atomize it properly, it will burn.
Yep.
The problem is, Stanley, only one third of the planet's covered in dirt, but two thirds of it's covered in hydrogen and oxygen.
If you atomize water properly, it will burn.
Yeah.
It's finding an efficient way to do it, and the secrets of that seem to have been lost to us.
But I think they're refound.
The oil companies, they just jump all over you. I mean, lots of people have thought of this. They've done it. They get bought out. They get shut up. It's out there.
Well, Stone, have you noticed?
If someone comes along and offers you $10 million to shut the hell up, are you going to?
Nope.
Yes.
Now listen, Stone, listen.
What happens to people that know stuff and got these ideas?
Stone, I just went out on the radio and I told everybody how to prove what it is I'm saying. It's already out there. It's forever on the internet. It has now been digitized. So if they kill me, they have to go get Raymond. They have to go get you. They have to go get Steve. They have to go get whoever has a copy of this soundtrack on their servers. They have to. The Pandora's box has been opened. There is no way to pull back that energy.
Just anybody that's coming to get either one of you guys is they got to get me first, or else they're going to have some trouble on their hands.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I like Vin from TNS and People's Internet Radio and the various iterations of that group. He gave me a really, really good point. In a courtroom, a piece of paper says nothing. So if somebody offers me $10 million to shut the hell up, then up, down, and down as a pamphlet, because I've never read a piece of paper anything.
Well, see, here's the thing about money, guys. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't want to be rich.
I don't like it either, but if somebody come along and offered me $10 million to shut up, I would shut up, but I'd give that
and get out on a piece of paper.
I'd give somebody else the money to talk.
Give somebody $1 million to walk around handing out bits of paper.
But anyway, I don't want the responsibility of $10 million, so I don't want it. I don't want it because you'll find out that when you got $10 million, you have a whole lot of friends. The moment that $10 million goes away, you find out you got a very short amount of friends. Huh?
I wouldn't have $10 million. See, the whole thing is they give you $10 million to shut up. You don't shut up. You give that $10 million away to people to keep talking.
But the key is...
The key is, shut up.
They're not going to offer me $10 million because I've already let the cat out of the bag. I've already told the world how to do this. All right? Now it's a matter of whether or not the world chooses to do it.
Okay, now you're worthless.
That's right. I'm worthless. And I'm happy to be worthless. Because now...
Yep. The simple solution is to give it to a Nigerian pastor. Then he's living in a large house with a big pool and a nice car, so you don't have to suffer the sin of.
Well, right now, a major company, listen, right now a major company could take the idea that we just spewed out here on the line and they could run with it. And they could go out and they can patent all these ideas, right? And
they're doing it.
It doesn't matter, because now the average Joe already knows, and so you can make whatever you want. It doesn't matter if there's a patent or a copyright on something. You can make it for your own personal use. As long as you're not trying to sell it, then you ain't got no problem. So at the moment you try to sell it, then that's where you fall under the patent and the copyright law. We're not going to patent it. We're not going to copy it. We're just going to give the information to everybody and his brother, and whoever chooses to use it will use it, and whoever don't. You see what I'm saying?
That's the whole point, Shiz, is commercial patents, commercial copyrights are for commercial purposes. And people live in fear of some high-priced lawyer or barrister or solicitor or attorney sending them a letter saying, you owe us money because you stole our idea.
That's right.
But the point is, it's for commercial purposes. If you are not manufacturing these devices and selling them, they cannot block your intellect.
I paint pictures. I do airbrush work, and I paint pictures. And sometimes I do like Disney characters and stuff like that. And I got told, you could get in trouble doing that. I'm like, no, Disney ain't gonna care about my little picture of Jiminy Cricket or whatever.
Yeah, but Stan Lee, do you put the erotic images into the background like Disney does?
No, well,
Alright, let's get back on mad science here before this goes down.
Well, that is mad science, because that is subliminal messages directed at children.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's true. And I'll tell you something, I really am upset about target marketing that I see on TV and everything.
Well, let's say that for the Knights of the Round Table. Let's save that for the Knights of the Round Table.
Is the reason why people are not building these devices themselves is because there is such subliminality put out there that our subconscious minds are constantly put into a state of fear, and we cannot concentrate on what's actually important.
And that's sort of what our indoctrination doesn't allow us to think so much outside the box. And so, like I was pointing out, some of the things we're looking for, some of the solutions and some of the answers, we don't even know them yet. Yeah. They're not there. We haven't got there, but we're really close.
I have every single piece of the puzzle to build the perfect generator that will run all the inefficient junk you can attach to it. It's as simple as moving. It's as simple as moving energy from point A to point B. See, whenever you get in a canoe and ride down the river, all you're doing is jumping along for the ride. That's all I'm suggesting, is that we jump along for the ride. And as long as we do not try to throw nature off balance at any given time, we let nature do the work just like nature does the work. It's as simple as that.
No, but I think... But then we got to where the river goes, and that's one of the problems, is we got to follow the river, and I don't believe that that's the way we should be going. We should be able to get off the river or go upstream, so to speak.
Well, do you know what the Vikings used to do when they got to a certain area and there was no more water to follow? They used to turn it upside down and carry it over the land.
Yep. Yeah. And throw some wheels on it,
let
the wind blow.
I mean, from what you were saying, this was a window of opportunity. And how many people...
But it's stuck on the river.
No, but we have a window of opportunity for the various people with the different skill sets to come together and put something together.
Yep.
So that window of opportunity is open right now.
It's right now.
And if you're out there, and you have...
We have to not be limited by the river, so to speak. We can't be limited by that.
Well, and if you've listened closely to any of my podcasts, I've continuously told everyone out there, never put all your eggs in one basket while doing research. Now, with this specific system right here, we talk about we need an initial driving force. Do you realize that you could take a solar panel and charge up enough batteries to last you for days? And so if the sun is in your initial driving source, you're not putting anything into it. So we know where the beginning of the river started. Now we're going to transfer that energy into an alternate energy so that the batteries will last even longer. So at the very least, we've just made this system more efficient than the average system that you see right now. And so from that point on, when the sun...
How old is copper wire, for crying out loud?
You know what copper wire is? It's nothing more than railroad tracks. That's it.
It's really old. It's really old. And I think we should be outside of copper wire somehow.
What I'm trying to tell you, Stone, is we don't need...
You know how old the wheat is?
We don't need...
It's round, but why are we using it? It's ridiculous that we're stuck in this paradigm.
Well, I'm trying to tell you...
Why we're still using the wheel nuts only? Because we need someone to make it.
Some couple parts.
It's residual charges. The wheel is the ultimate in residual charges. Because if we could find a way to levitate vehicles so they didn't need wheels, then we wouldn't have to buy them.
Stone, I'm saying to you right now...
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now how we can move energy without copper wire. Perfect. Without using any copper wire.
But one thing that we butted heads with is I don't see the safety. Like, we don't know the side effects of moving that without copper wire.
Nature does it all the time.
Well, okay, but maybe we should look at nature to do it. Maybe we need, I don't know what, something that we don't even recognize yet. We don't see.
The only problem with that, Stanley, is stuff that we don't recognize, we cannot use to build devices from because we haven't got it.
I know, but we got so much talent here. This is what we should be looking at: is what can we do to replace that copper wire, for instance,
or light,
or yeah, I know.
I don't mean to be rude, Stanley, but you're basically talking about reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, we can use light. We can use water. We can use dirt. We can use air.
I am talking about recreating the wheel.
But the point is most people haven't got the capacity to prevent the wheel, but there's a junk line around that can use.
Yeah.
If you get me wrong, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but
the whole concept of what they're
talking about is to pick stuff up that other people have thrown away and build something useful out of it.
Yep. We're talking Hey, Stone, here's the key that you're missing right here. The energy that we're talking about using has to be what's the word that I'm looking for that they work together? No, there's another word that I'm looking for that has to be they have to be able to jive together. They have to work together. They have to be
complementary.
Yeah, they have to complement themselves. All right, okay, so essentially what we got right now is a whole bunch of inefficient appliances that were either deliberately or indeliberately designed inefficient. So we need to take our new power source and be able to run things that are already made. And so in order to do this, we need to, at some point, change the energy and then put it back to the energy that these appliances can understand, otherwise we can't run them. Now, if we could start off with this energy source,
and everything can have every single appliance, like we plug our appliances into the wall, every single appliance could have its own power source.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't need central power. Even the wires running through our houses are not a good thing for us.
No.
If somebody will turn it off.
Huh?
Can anybody, coffee maker, your fridge, your everything could have its own power source.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm like, Mama.
You're on there, Brandon. I can hear you.
I've said it 25 times. Harmonics. Everything has a frequency at which it will vibrate. If you put a mat down that has real stiff burrs on it and they're facing in one direction, and you put an object, a solid object, on that mat, and you get a frequency and match the harmonics, that solid object will start to vibrate. As it vibrates,
that's the right surface. Are you talking about the line card?
I'm sorry. Nobody was listening.
I was trying to listen, but somebody was cutting in. All right, look.
You're actually getting a bit scratchy there, Raymond, in fairness. So you were breaking up a little bit.
Sorry about that.
It's simple. It's simple, guys. As far as all the potential health effects and potential to nature, those things were all taken in consideration while trying to design a system that would work in conjunction with the cruddy appliances that we've got today. Now, if you started off from that point on, once you had this generator and you turned around and redesigned all the electric motors to work at a different frequency, as opposed to the standard 60 hertz that we use right now over here in the States or the 50 hertz that they use overseas. If you turn around and use that new, which isn't new, it's basically been around forever and a day, that different energy and design all your equipment to function off of that specific energy, then from that point on you could have essentially appliances that are not inefficient. You understand what I'm saying? But from right here, right now, where we stand, This is the best we've got with the knowledge we've got.
You take some of the really, really cool energy creating devices that I've seen. I've been witness to lots of them. Now, if you nano build them, like build them really, really small. Everybody wants to go big. Let's go big, right? Let's build something big. So it'll power your whole house. Why do you want to power your whole house when you could just build something small that would power your coffee pot?
Well, in fairness, Stone Lee, and he's right. Stone Lee, instead of plugging your coffee pot into the wall, why not plug it into a box, a small box that's the size of a matchbox?
Why not just turn it on because it's already got its own power?
Because you'd have to retrofit every device to put it in there. But if you had a little box you could plug it into.
You guys are walking over each other.
I know. The two of them are right. I'm trying to put them together. Steve, put the box, the little matchbox inside the coffee pot. That's what's on Steve's face.
But the point I'm trying to make is that million people have coffee pots that don't have the ability to retrofit them. If you start getting people to plug them into small little boxes that power them, the manufacturers will start to make stuff with it in it.
Yeah.
But we have to pave the way.
Okay, listen. We're getting the cart before the horse. Alright?
Yeah. Okay.
Right now we have listen.
I think we're on the cart too long and we better get in front of the
it's
horse.
It's counterproductive to what we're trying to accomplish here on today's show. Today's show we're trying to accomplish gathering up some brilliant minds to actually get it done. Period.
Well, this is my point, is I want these brilliant minds to come together so we can give people that little box that they can plug their existing equipment into.
Yeah, because right now we don't have the perfect grid system, so we got to work with that. Using the knowledge that we've got to be able to use the energy that is natural in nature without harming nature, without harming the person that's using the energy. All we are doing is moving energy from one point to the next. It's as simple as getting in your canoe and riding down the river. You're getting work done. You're not adding to or taking away or polluting that river. Unless you're riding around in a lead boat, which in that case you're probably getting lead in the water, and that will get the EPA guys on you. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about common sense, basic science that does not defy the laws of physics. So the guys out there that call people who believe in free energy idiots need to recheck themselves, because we're not talking about what they think we're talking about. We're simply talking about using everything that nature supplies. The sun in itself puts out multiple frequencies. Any frequency out there under the sun can be stored as potential energy. You can take that energy, you can change it up, and you can change the frequency of it. You can store it in multiple different directions. It doesn't even have to be one specific frequency goes to this capacitor. The next specific frequency goes to that capacitor. But at the end of the day, all these capacitors, these DC capacitors, an 800 microfarad capacitor has enough power potential in there to blow your thumb right off your hand. That's power. Now, if we're moving it from point A to point B on demand, then now you have the same amount of energy that you generated before without all the losses that you would have gotten before. The only losses in the entire system are the initial generating source, and if the bearings in that was changed to, instead of mechanical bearings, to magnetic bearings, you will reduce that. If you take and are able to keep that motor cooler, you will reduce heat losses in that deal. If you reduce friction in there, you will reduce that as well. And if you use the energy indirectly as opposed to directly, then you have no back EMF. And so now you have the perfect generator running with the zero amount of losses, because you've taken in consideration all the factors that would apply, that would give people the justification to say there is no such thing as free energy.
What was the first way you ever talked to somebody at a distance? What was the first way?
I yelled at them.
Well, I'm talking more of a device. Now, If it wasn't a Canon string, then I think you didn't grow up proper.
Megaphone.
Well, a Canon string. Remember the old Canon string thing? You used to talk in the can?
You just moved energy from point A to point B.
Right. Well, we're stuck. We're okay. There's got to be something we're missing here.
Well, and maybe you perceive it as something missing, but right now this has been years of research in the making that has literally figured out a way to take the existing equipment that you got. See, it's like this, Stone. If I went back in time and I had a time machine that was built in the year 2015 and I went back to 1995, right, and something broke down on my deal, I would have to be able to figure out what is in existence in this time period that would function and do exactly what I need to do. Otherwise, I'm stuck in 1995 forever. All right, so I go out there.
1995.
Yeah.
But again, I think we've got to get out of this paradigm. We really have a barrier, some sort of a barrier of this that's looping us in and letting us realize the actual potential of some of the stuff we're talking about.
The only barrier that we've got is people.
The tin can is trying to help. When I was a kid, and we made tin can, we realized that something was missing. We were losing a lot of energy that was radiating out from the string. So we simply got some beeswax and covered the string. And right. It worked out better. Did something was missing.
We gotta keep looking for that missing, for what's missing.
Well, as far as I can see, from where I am standing, right here, right now, we have absolutely no missing parts. We have every single piece of the puzzle in order to build the perfect generator.
We did had the same thing when we had the tin can and string. We had everything to build a perfect tin can telephone. After we covered it with beeswax, we realized we needed a diaphragm, and that would excite it even more. So we took the top of the can instead of throwing it away and placed it in the bottom and fastened the string to it. And the thing worked even twice as good.
You're hearing what I'm saying.
Not just 10 feet, but 100 yards. We can talk in a normal voice, and the other person can hear you clearly.
Yeah. Now, okay, so that's just an example of how we're stuck in a paradigm.
I don't really think we're stuck. I think we're, like Shazoo says, we're looking for those things that exist to improve what we have.
I get what you're saying, Stone.
I know, but we got to find the things that we don't understand exist. It's not just the things that exist.
We'll pick those up on the way.
Yeah, think of it this way. Most revolutions in history have not been made by 90% of the population. They reckon it's roughly around 6% of the population. It's fundamentally changed the whole through a society.
I'm a hero, man.
Yeah, but think of it this way. If 6% of the population managed to recreate the devices that Shaviz is talking about, and they turn the fuse box off in their home, and they start using their own independent power, that can start a revolution. Because the person next door to them is going to come and want to see this magic device that they've installed in their home, where they don't need to pay somebody to give them electricity.
Do you know what plasma can do for
lead
you?
On, well, Shaviz, that will then lead on to the people that are manufacturing these devices saying, well, people don't want this stuff anymore. We're going to have to be more creative. And they will take those devices and they will incorporate them into the equipment.
Yep.
But we can't just say, we've got to think about the stuff we don't know about, because that is just wishful thinking.
We've got to
prove that we don't need it, then the revolution will come. And it doesn't mean a revolution of arms, doesn't mean a revolution of anger.
The two biggest things in your house that draw electrical current is heat and light. Once you have figured out how to get heat and light for the least amount of input, then you can reduce, at the very least, your light bill to a more usable manner. One thing that plasma has...
With nanotechnology, we should be able to build a light bulb that doesn't need electricity.
Yeah, but Stone, we don't have access to Stone, we don't have access to nanotechnology at this point in the game. We are in agreement with you that we want to move further. All right. Well, if you can find somebody in nanotechnology that can join the dream team, then we can get it done right up the get. But until then, we got to work with what we got. Now, it is really super simple to create high voltage. Really super simple. Nature does it all the time, and you do it with your tennis shoes when you're walking across the carpet, and you build up a static charge, and you touch your brother on the ear. That's potential energy. So what I am saying is this. I don't care about current watts and amps at this stage in the game, because we're not going to use it as current electricity. What we are going to do is we're going to take that potential energy, change the frequency range of that energy into something that is easier to move, which is plasma and the energy that is created in plasma. I already know, and it can be 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, plasma creates heat. Heat can be used as another potential energy source. Heat is light, light is heat, vice versa. So if we have heat, we have light, and the same on the flip side. So what we have been able to figure out now is, without putting that energy source, the initial generator, under a load, then we never, ever, ever create a back EMF that can slow that generator down. So from that point back to the natural power source, whatever that may be, whether it be the wind or the sun or the earth or whatever, that energy will stay constant through that generator and never allow that generator to get too hot to the point where it destroys the coating on the wire.
But you're talking about moving electricity. Why, or potential energy. Why do you got to move it?
Because that is how we get current flow. You get current flow as the wind is blowing by. You get current flow as the water is blowing by. You get current flow as the electricity is flowing by. You get current flow as the air is blowing by. No matter which way you look at it, nature does what nature does, and we are in the middle, and we use the wind blowing as a source to get work done. We use electricity as a source to get work done. We're not doing anything but allowing a natural movement from point A to point B.
I don't think it's any different than they were doing with the pyramid, but look what happened. It destroyed the entire civilization.
Well, I can't help the Egyptians, because they done blew it. We're still around.
Stop. We have to stop moving electricity and put it where it needs to be.
Without no movement, you have no work.
Transporting, transmission. This is the problem. That's what I see as a big problem, is the transmission and the distribution of energy. Take it and put it where it needs to be. Don't be spreading it all over the damn place.
Without no movement, you have no work.
You cannot put something somewhere without moving it. So if the electric is not there, but you want to put it there, you've got to move it there somehow.
Now, I will make you happy with my next statement. Listen, I will make you happy with my next statement. When we get this energy device built and proven, then people from that point on can take all that knowledge and they can shrink it down, because what can be scaled up can be scaled down. And so we can literally build individual systems. And NASA's already done it. Okay? Yeah. If you believe that NASA really went to Pluto, which I don't care whether they did or didn't, but they have a thermal electric generator that produces 200 watts and is able to send a signal all the way back to a place where sunlight is so weak that a solar panel is super inefficient and will not produce enough light in order to be able to light energy to light one Christmas light bulb. But yet, with the thermal energy usage, they produce 200 watts that runs their instruments and sends the signal back so that you can see a picture of Jupiter. If you believe that NASA's telling the truth and it really happened, then that energy source right there could be the initial energy source that will run your coffee pot without no harmful side effects.
Exactly. That is my point.
Well, we're all on the same page. We're just going in different directions. See, I'm not worried about the future at the moment. As far as
I thought you said you wanted a whole bunch of smart people here. I know I kind of barged in. I'm not a smart people, but
you pose some valid points, Stone. It's not bad. It's this. We have a system right now, a raggedy old wiring system, basically a grid structure that is junk. It was strung together with pork and bean cans and wire, all right? And so it's inefficient. And the motors, everything that we use electrically-wise is inefficient. Tesla said it, Stan Meyer said it, everybody else said it. And back, if you go back to Edison, Edison's version started fires. And shock the crud out of people who walked near the outlet. So,
the wheel was a great invention, too, at the time. But so, I think we got the wheel.
Now, here we are, with every single piece of the puzzle laying before us, and all we have to do is literally put this device together, prove it, get it done, and then now, I don't ever have to worry about saying that energy's free anymore, because everybody already knows it.
Well, I think everybody does it. I mean, a lot of us already know it. We know it's free.
Well, the post-apocalyptic inventor said that free energy folks were idiots.
Well, maybe they are, because they're going to...
Well, you are.
You're for a society. I mean, if you turn around and come out with stuff that basically means that rich people can't skim off of your livelihood anymore... then you are an idiot in their perspective.
Well, if you're trying to defy the laws of physics and you're trying to get around magnetism, then maybe you could be classified as an idiot and even insane, because after repeating things over and over again and getting the same results, then that one might classify you as an idiot. But what I'm trying to say to everybody and his brother, and to pay real close attention, we know that when you induce a current into a copper wire, and it doesn't have to be copper wire to induce a current because it's been done with aluminum. All right, regardless, when you induce a current into
Let me finish
what I'm talking about. All right, when you induce a current, all right, according to Lenz's law, it will create a magnetic field that will be a counter-magnetic field to that of the opposite side that you're trying to draw that energy off, and that is what we call back EMF. So, knowing that, why even create the back EMF from the get-go when you know that you can transfer that energy opposite the other direction and send it away from that generator, change it into another form that where it has absolutely no potential to go back into the generator. So now that problem is solved. Moving right along, we got bearings out there that we know that when these bearings are rotating, even when they have oil in there, friction produces heat that in turn is classified as a loss. So we know that we have bearing systems out there where we can make magnetic bearings where they are frictionless bearings. So why not incorporate that into the machine as well? So moving right along.
I think we should be past copper wire and bearings.
Well, we can send the energy via light.
Faster. That's my point. I'm just reading crap here, but... we should be past this. Why are we stuck on a copper wire and a bearing?
Because people want to make money, Stone. That's why. That's why we're in the predicament that we're in right now, because people want to make money. They don't want you to know that there's a better bearing than their product. They don't want you to know that there's a better fuel than oil. They don't want you to know that when you burn hydrogen, you get water out the other side. They don't want you to know that. Because if they do know that and they use that, then their wallet gets thin.
Gets you thin.
Yeah.
On the way home from listen to this quick. Really listen. On my way home from Shaziz's place, I called my brother. I told him what Shaziz did. And that we lit up fluorescent light bulbs that without any wires, wireless. And he said, wow, that's amazing. And I said, no, the amazing part was the bulbs were burnt out. And he said, whoa, do what? And I told him basically how he did it. He said, Raymond, if it's that simple, why don't they just make the light bulb with that stuff in it?
Yep.
And I said, exactly. Why did they the light bulb that they did? And he said, wait a minute. He said, before he got through saying it, I realized that's what it was. The reason they don't make the light bulb for where you don't need wire is because they couldn't sell any more light bulbs. You need 10, you buy 10, that's it. The rest of your life.
We lit up, and Raymond's got it on video, we lit up a incandescent light bulb, an old headlight from a car that is completely burned out. We lit it up as if it was good.
And the thing, the longer we let it sit there and be lit up, the bigger he got. I mean, Stone, this is unreal. And like you said a minute ago, like she said, it was trying to explain, why don't they do that? Because they couldn't sell any more light bulbs. It's just that simple.
That's right. Planned obsolescence is what the deal is.
That's what it is. Planned obsolescence. And we're stuck in this paradigm. Again, I'm going to refer
to it. We're only stuck if we choose to be stuck. I don't choose.
I've been thinking outside the box for a long time. I'm not stuck here. I'm not stuck on the wheel or the bearing or the copper wire. There's got to be something we're missing here.
There is something we're missing, but without trying to go into an alternative deal, I'll just say something simple like this. If you understand the Venturi effect, if you understand how by pushing water through a Y pipe with an open to the atmosphere on the opposite side, you will understand a static discharge, you will understand where electricity really comes from, and then you can go on from there. So without going into the whole hoodoo voodoo of where energy from the vacuum initially comes from or anything like that, you can physically see with your own two eyes the reaction of a Venturi, where they can literally force water through one pipe and use the other pipe to siphon water out of whatever. You can pump water with water. You can pump water with air. Back in the old days, whenever somebody needed to get gasoline out of the tank of their car, they'd put a wet rag around the hose and push it up real tight towards the gas tank and blow air into that tank, and the back pressure would force that gasoline out without having to do any sucking where you're going to end up swallowing gasoline.
I've done that. It worked great.
So we know what nature does. Now let's take and build a device that basically uses the forces that nature already does naturally without the back EMF issue. We know how to get around that. We know that we don't have to draw a whole lot of current watts and amps in order to produce high voltage. Nature does it all the time. Now, nature does it in an amazing form, because when nature sends some high voltage in the form of lightning, you're talking about some serious pow. All right?
Seen a fire?
Huh?
Those glowing stingray things. We got fireflies. We have lots of things in nature that produce their own electricity.
All right, you want to enjoy yourself in a mind-boggling experiment? Go get you a magnet and figure out where that force is coming from within that magnet. It is actually keeping those lines of flux continuous.
Saturn has amazed me more than a magnet since I was a kid. Since I was just a little kid, man. Nothing has amazed me more than a magnet.
Well, there you go. There's one of the mysteries of the universe. Solve the mysteries of the magnet, and you will solve all the mysteries of how to get the all the energy that you want.
Some magnets were going to be a very, very incredible thing in the future. I saw that as a kid, and I when I was in grade six, I did with me and a buddy of mine, we designed the first floating car, and it was a car that rode on a magnet.
Well,
thing.
We're sitting in the year 2015 right now. We should be having hovercrafts and flying cars and lightsabers and all the cool stuff that you see in science fiction.
You're exactly right. And that's the point I'm trying to make. We're way behind the ball here. In 2015, come on.
We
should be way...
We are behind because we have allowed corporations and out there to suppress and hide technology that if anybody was to pay attention from the get-go, they would have understood that there is more out there than meets the eye. If they got the iPhone 2, they got the iPhone 1. If they already have the iPhone 1, chances are they're already working on the iPhone 2. But they're not going to give you the iPhone 2 until they sell all the iPhone 1s. Otherwise, the iPhone 1 becomes obsolete, and they can't make no money off of it. So, in stages, they release technology to their benefit. That's how the system works. And so, what we're talking about doing is taking everything that they've already given us, like the X13 is an amazing generator. You've seen it if you watched Raymond's video or my video I'm just sitting there and I'm barely turning this thing and I'm producing some substantial voltage just by barely flicking this thing. Imagine that at some super high RPMs.
Almost no energy at all. He just barely turned it and talking out 28, 29 volts of electricity.
Yep. The moment I put that under a direct load, bam, I just lost it all. All right, and I don't want to lose it all.
How big is it?
The X13?
This is roughly about 7 inches diameter and about 9 to 10 inches long. And weighs roughly about 10 pounds.
But it has
enough. So could you make it really small and still produce the same amount of power?
Yeah, you can make it the size of a doggone hard drive motor, which I've already proven.
That's why we got to go. Songs make it 8 foot in diameter if you wanted to. Get a piece of cake. I've got everything here I need to do exactly that.
It's small. I'm talking one centimeter by one centimeter. Can make it really small.
Anything that can be scaled up can be scaled down.
Demonstrate. It could be made as small as nanobit. Yeah, and work. Yes.
This is where we should be going. And again, like I don't know anybody that can do
nano. What wants to do? The problem is some big corporation has not figured out how to make a profit doing it. And when they do, it will be done. But it can be done. The technology is there. The items are there. It's plug and play. It's just Shaziz wants to do it. So to get it out there to the public, so and like Steve said, if enough people do it on their own, then the big corporations are going to figure a way to make a profit, and then they're going to take it and run with it.
Yep.
And then it's going to be out of a
profit. What
I'm saying, he's a war prop. He wants to see his get out there to the public.
What I'm saying to everybody out there, guys. We're running low on time. Listen, I want to get this out. What I'm saying and proposing to the world out there and all the other energy researchers out there in the world, for every journey, you don't get anywhere until you take the very first step. Now, we, the people out here who want the alternative energy, want the clean energy, the free energy, the green energy, whatever, it has been there all along for the taking. Those folks in the know, they make money. Those folks in not know are you, the ones paying the electric bills. We have all the pieces of the puzzle. It's a matter of putting these pieces of the puzzle together and sharing this information freely in the world. It's there if you want it. I'm telling you right now, 150,000%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is right there in front of you if you want it. I'm asking people out there in the alternative energy to take that first step with me. I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking you for your time. I'm asking you for your talent. I'm asking you to join me to build this device so that we can finally put this pain in the neck, this headache, to rest. Yeah. They talk about carbon taxes, they talk about global warming, climate change, pollution, and so on and so forth, but yet here we are. We the people, all the little protesters out there with their little wooden signs saying save the trees, are wasting time when we have the answer right before our very eyes to give them exactly what it is that they want. We're giving them the clean, the free energy that they've been wanting all along. I'm telling you out there, if anybody out there cares, if anybody out there really truly believes that the global warming thing's an issue, I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking you to take the knowledge that I'm trying to lay down in front of you, take it away and use it and get rich or do whatever it is you want to do. Once my job is done, once I have proved to the world beyond a shadow of a doubt what it is that I set out to prove, then my job is done. And wherever you take it from there is limited only to the work you're willing to put in.
And any one of your listeners that believes in global warming, I would like to just give them a heads up. Northeast strong.
Well, there you go, man.
I'm very proud of the fact that he's a Canadian, but listen, he's a very, very dangerous man, and I was warned about him by... numerous
there's a lot of dangerous individuals out there in this world.
Jim Tucker was one of the first people that I talked to about Maurice Strong, and Maurice Strong is a very dangerous individual when it comes to global warming and all this carbon tax credit stuff. Please, all the listeners right now, go Google Maurice Strong. At what's going on? This is ridiculous. Find obsolescence. It's just control over all of this.
The key is this. We are going to take the guys such as Maurice Strong, and we're going to leave them in the dust. If we decide that we're tired of the system, then we're going to get up, we're going to build a new system. But until we take that first step together as the Dream Team, then they continue to earn all the money they want. They continue to do all the wars that they want. They continue to control you all they want. As long as you are allowing them to have that power, then energy will not be free. The moment we all decide that we're going to take our talents and we take that first step forward, such as gathering and putting our minds together, then we have it won.
To this, I've said it before. People don't listen to you. You have said it many times. All you want to do is prove the fact and hope. You have said this many times before. You hope somebody does grab it and run and make a profit, because that's the only way it's going to get out to the public. You're not. Well, you don't want money. I don't want money. We just want to prove that it works so that somebody will make it and build a business out of it and get it out to the people.
Do you know what I would do? Hold on. I'm going to mute this. All right. This is what I would do. If my idea was to make it in some corporation's hands, and then everybody and his brother out there knew right out of the gate that there was free energy because of this corporation taking it away for greed. If an individual took this information and they went around and they made $1 billion and I got absolutely no credit whatsoever for any input in that situation whatsoever, as long as Pandora's box was open and that information was in the public, then I would throw a party of epic proportions. That's what I'm doing. All right, you guys are back. Sorry I had to mute you, but I got to get it out.
Are you buying the beer?
So, all right, this is the deal.
No,
Well, listen, I love your enthusiasm in all of this, and I'm just trying to. I'm throwing a wrench in all of it. I know I am, but that's what I do.
Well, this is where we need you to throw the wrenches at the other guy while we do the work. Throw the wrenches at the system, and you be our protection so that nobody messes with us while we're trying to build this generator to give it to the world for free. All right? All the information's there. And I'm saying it right here now. I'm putting my own personal reputation on the line. All right? I am saying that if we get the right crew at the right place at the right time, less than 30 days' time, I can put an energy device in front of everybody in this world that they can generate all the clean, free, renewable energy that they will ever be able to use in a lifetime and do it environmentally safe and physically safe for any individual out there. We have the technology.
I'm a body man, so I can paint and...
We would like to use your skills to make that device look pretty.
That would be great. So, but I'm a long ways away.
Hey, this is where we got to figure it out. Where necessity is the mother of invention. If we got to get all these brilliant minds together, if we got to move them from either me to Canada or me to wherever or them to here or however, whichever direction we decide to meet at Raymond's house or Mud's house, we have to have somebody who can coordinate and get all these people in the same lab at the same time and somebody out there to make sure that no drones or anything gets anywhere in the general vicinity, because once the men in black realize what we're up to, they're going to want to try to accidentally drop something on our shack, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Are you buying a cigarette?
I'll be there. You just said something right there that is exactly what we brought up on another show a few months back. I don't care who you are. All you listeners out there, listen to me closely. I don't care who you are or what your skills are. I promise you, you have a skill, something that we can do. We need to coordinate. We need somebody that could coordinate all this. I'm not good at coordinating things.
Somebody's got to feed us.
And we need your skill.
Somebody's got to feed us for that 30 days. I can't cook.
Exactly. I mean, so we need music, we need entertainment, so when we're not busy, you can clear our mind. Duh, I don't care who you are, have a skill you in this. Shazam calls it Dream Team, I want to call it Think Tank.
All right, now,
it's the same thing.
We're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, so this is what I'm saying to everybody. This is what I'm saying to everybody out there. The invitation is there. I'm not asking anybody for any money. I'm not asking anybody for anything other than some brain power. Now, whatever you guys want to do with that, take it to the extremes. If you want to share this on your social media networks and you want to talk about it on your other radio networks and your radio shows and stuff like that, and you want to figure out a way to bring us all together, whether it be a massive Skype / Ustream / Livestream / YouTube or whatever, everybody in the chat room brainstorming and working the deal from there. You have it within your grasp to get exactly what you have asked for and exactly what I've promised. And if we can't do it in 30 days, it cannot be done.
Well, I'll tell you what, Raymond, you're thinking exactly down the wrong path. Why are you going to buy beer when I can make it perfectly?
There you go.
That's thinking outside the box. Nobody has to buy beer. They've been making it for at least 3,000 years.
Yeah, it's all.
All right, so...
1 billion of gallons of beer was paid to build the pyramids of Egypt, apparently.
Let's go around the table and let everybody have their last word. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
I love beer.
Okay, nobody interrupt them while they're talking.
Right. I'm done.
Okay. Go ahead. Stage fright?
Au revoir.
That was quick.
That's what we watched it.
All right, who's next?
I'll be next.
We gotta get outside the box. We gotta drop the wheel, the copper wire, all that stuff. It's time to expand our. We gotta get outside of the discovery of fire, so to speak. You know, I mean, we're so stuck there. There's something wrong with this paradigm. I really believe that.
All right. Well, we're gonna fix it, Raymond.
Okay. If you don't talk, then nobody knows what's in your head. But you need to remember, when you're talking, you can't listen to other people. Say what you gotta say, get done, listen to the combat. That's one thing. Only, I do not wish to make you angry or any way. I agree with a lot of people, we need to look outside the box. But I really believe that it's very important that we check all the corners of the box we're in, because there's stuff out there we don't know about. And it would help understand what's in the box before we start looking outside of it.
Well, I've been outside the box since day one. That's why they call me a rebel. That's why they call me a rebel against the laws of physics. That's why I call it mad science, because I'm standing back and I'm looking at how this world functions, and I'm seeing how people are treating each other, and I'm saying, this is ridiculous. Can't we all just get along? You want to talk about save the planet, but on the other hand, hold on, I didn't talk over you guys. When you want to talk about free energy, or you want to talk about save the planet or clean energy or whatever, and then on the other side of the planet you're dropping bombs, there's a problem. When you're talking about how you want to protect the environment but allow corporations to go down to countries like Mexico and pollute their waterways, which run downstream into other waterways, then to me there's a problem. When you want to talk about the safety or the lack thereof of nuclear energy, and you build a nuclear power plant on a doggone fault system where you know that there's a potential of something going wrong in the system, there is a problem. When you want to talk about how we can travel millions of light years across space and be able to send back pictures, but yet we're not using that technology here on this earth, then there's a problem. When you want to talk about the dangers of fossil fuel leaking out into the ocean, yet you don't want to look towards any other type of energy that is already there right before your very eyes, then there is a problem. When you want to talk about all the different things that are made out there in this world that are flat out wasted and thrown up into the dump, that just go by the wayside, and you got to use more energy to produce more products, then there's a problem. I'm sitting back, I'm looking at the world that is a total chaos. I'm offering you a solution to the problem that was presented to me years ago when they first started about the hole in the ozone layer or the climate change or whatever. Even though I disagreed with their science, I gave them the answer.
Well, Raymond,
it's right here, right now.
No, Raymond, no offense, I took no offense, and no, I hear where you're coming from. I've got broad shoulders.
We've got what we need, folks.
I got something to say to the listeners out there about Shaziz. Sometimes he gets on a rampage and it sounds like he's talking negative, and he's not. I just spent 4 days with Shaziz and his family, and I'm going to tell you people out there, that is the most positive thinking man I have ever been around in my daggone life. I mean, seriously. When the man ends every show with peace and love, everybody, hey, this man doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk.
I appreciate that, Raymond. All I want is for a better world for our families.
And
God bless you, guys.
Thank you.
I have one more thing. The thing is, his peace and love, when he says it, he means it. But the thing is, it goes further than that. He radiated every member of his family the same way. His wife, his daughters, his sons. I mean, Shaziz has sons that do not even share his blood. But my God, these people love him to death. They show great respect.
All right, folks.
Admiration and respect.
That's the end of the mad science for this day. I appreciate it. And thank you, Raymond. Thank you, Stone and Steve, for a good show. We got what we need, folks. I'm just asking, who wants to join me to take that first step and move us towards the future of what we want for this world? I'm putting myself out there on the line. I'm saying we got everything we need. It's a matter of doing it.
I don't think the first step we should jump. No stepping.
Well, if somebody wants to jump, I'll jump. On three, everybody, we're in. Oh, we're out. Let's do it. Alright, peace and love, everybody.
University of Mad Science, but you forgot to give me my diploma.
Oh, well, go print it out. Alright, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Hope everybody decides to join me for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, because it's getting kind of lonely sitting at that table by myself. Old King Shazam's the Terrible. My buddy Steve's been there quite a bit. And Raymond's been here quite a bit. Maybe we can get Buddy in there too. And Stone and whoever wants to join us. We can make the world a better place. We have the technology. Now we need the willpower. Stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody. Yep. Take care.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.